On the first Monday of April 2020, December 21 corn futures closed at 368 and were on their way to an April 21 low of 357. November 21 beans closed at 847 and were on their way to an April 24 contract low at 826.5. Wow, a lot has changed in the last 365 days.
Live from April 5's day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Scotty Davis from Bullpen Trading in the final segment, Kerry Artak from ArtakAdvisory.com, and right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group joins. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Yeah, so Scott Davis, when he sent me a note earlier this morning, and we started the conversation by email, made the mention of how much things have changed in the last year. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking about it, and I've spent time today on and off thinking about how markets have changed, attitudes have changed, opportunities have changed, the world has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about getting back to normal. And I kind of mentioned it this morning a little bit, too, when I said, you know, we got together with the family over the weekend. It's starting to feel more like normal, or at least whatever normal is at this time. After what we've gone through, Davis, I don't know if there's any going back to what is normal or what was
normal.
There isn't. Yeah.
No, but I do agree that, you know, the spirit of Cinco de April is to get together with friends.
Sure.
And so to have an old friend like Scott on the show is just perfect for today's holiday celebration.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. I just wish that we were sitting in the same room having the conversation face to face, but the phone will do. The phone will do.
Yeah. We've done that. So,
yeah,
we've stuffed the three of us all into the studio together.
That's right. That's right. It's always a good conversation with Scott. Looking forward to it. So, yeah, he turned on my thinking switch this morning.
It's a dangerous button to push.
So we'll see where it takes us. All right, let's get to it. What you got in the markets?
Chip, export inspections of wheat in the week ended April 1 totaled 594,000 metric tons. That was above the top end of trade expectations. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 130,000 metric tons of soft red winter wheat for delivery to unknown destinations for the 21-22 marketing year. These solid loadings pace along with fresh demand help support wheat prices in Russia. Wheat prices are reportedly starting the week under light pressure, but the slide in prices is slowing. And finally, traders will pay close attention to the first official crop progress and condition reports out this afternoon. July hard red winter wheat 2¼ cents lower today, 569¾. July soft red up 3 cents, 613.5. September spring wheat 7 cents higher, 624¾. Chip.
Yeah, going to be taking a close look at the crop condition ratings. No question about that. I just taking a real quick look at the chart. That July SRW contract today opened lower on session lows, rallied, closed, and fell back to mid-range. But it was an inside day with a mid-range close above the opening range. We've got a fairly wide range that goes back to last Thursday for this market. We still haven't gotten outside of that Thursday trading range.
Well, export inspections of corn in the week ended April 1st tallied 1.9 million metric tons. That was at the top end of trade expectations. Corn loadings are 83.5% ahead of the year-ago pace compared to USDA's estimate that exports will rise 46.2% from last year. That has some traders looking for an increase in the export peg in Friday's supply and demand report. December corn futures opened higher and near session lows. Prices rallied to a new contract high at 493.5. Then fell back to a mid-range settlement. May corn futures were 6.5 cents lower, 553¼. July corn fell 6 cents to 539¼. December corn closed at 488½, up 4 cents on the day. New crop sneaking up on the $5 mark.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. And I misspoke or was wrong or whatever you want to say. The wheat market hasn't gotten outside of Wednesday's price range, not Thursday's, Wednesday's price range yet. Just want to make that clear. And yeah, we're sneaking right up on it. I mean, we've rallied about 43 cents from Wednesday's low in that Dease corn contract, Davis. It's a huge move.
This has been a quiet rally too. I don't know. Where have I been?
Well, it was screaming and hollering on Wednesday though, that limit up move.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, that's right. Well, soybean export inspections of just over 298,000 metric tons were in line with trade expectations. Bean loadings this year, 71% ahead of last year, with USDA forecasting a 33.8% increase. As with corn, some traders expect USDA to increase the export estimate in Friday's supply and demand report. USDA also reported crushers processed 164 million bushels of beans in February. That was 1 million bushels short of trade expectations. May soybeans 10¾ cents higher, 14.12¾. July gained 8¾ cents to close at 14.05½. November bean futures closed at 12.69. That's up 5¼ today. Chip.
Yeah, that Novi contract, it gapped up in the overnight, fell back, well, rallied from there. To a new contract high above 1280, that was on Thursday. Good grief.
Thursday.
Today it opened higher, rallied up to 1280, fell back, low range close, and a close below the opening range. That's suggestive of some topping action in here. We'll get to the rest of the closes here in the next segment. Bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, good, good. It looks like soybean oil and beans have reconnected again. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, it kind of acts that way, doesn't it? Both trending higher, and the beans, ignoring all the bear spreading that was going on in the corn. I think beans kind of got into that a little bit last week, and so the spreads weren't nearly as affected, and as a result, we were able to go up with the oil. And oil is acting really pretty decent again. It looks good on the charts, and could take the whole bean complex with it.
Yep. So here we are, April, start of the growing season, Jack. I mean, how do you feel these markets are set up to handle it?
Well, I think there's some concern being expressed. When you look at the new crop, it was higher in the corn, higher in the beans. And I think. You know, why not? We have lower than expected acreage totals last week in the planning intentions report. We have the threat for dry weather that's currently in the western plains to expand east and perhaps cause a little pain on the yields. And between the two of them, we've got to start pricing a little of that in. So I think we're in the process of doing that. I think there's a long way to go. There's a lot of growing season left to go, and we're going to have a lot of big ups and downs as the season goes along.
Yep. We're going to get a lot of updates, supply and demand updates through the course of the summer. But, boy, nothing's going to be more important than weather when it comes to these markets. It's going to be a fascinating summer to watch. Jack, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
All right, that's Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. When we come back, time for a conversation with Scott Davis from Bullpen Trading right here on AgriTalk.
Hello, Scott.
You might already know that POET produces 2 billion gallons of bioethanol and 5 million tons of high-protein Dakota Gold animal feed each year. But did you also know we use the same process to produce a suite of other bioproducts? Like purified alcohol for cosmetics and sanitizing products, renewable CO2, and oil for renewable diesel. The market for green products made from crops harvested right here in the Midwest is growing at an unprecedented rate. And that means even more reliable domestic demand for your grain. Farmers aren't just feeding and fueling the world. They are growing sustainable solutions that protect the environment and preserve our way of life for future generations. At POET, we believe in the power of agriculture to meet the world's most pressing needs. Learn more at poet.com/products.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Dallaro Complete. Keep your operation moving forward with Dallaro Complete from Bayer.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Scott Davis with me. We're going to get to a conversation with Scott Davis from Bullpen Trading here in just a moment. But first, Davis, if you would, please give us the closes on what would we miss? Cotton, cattle, and hogs.
Yeah, I'll finish her up. May cotton, 30 points lower, 77.65 today. December cotton off 23 points, 77.68. And on the livestock side, cash cattle is firming in response to strong beef demand at firm prices. April live cattle jumped $1.35 to 121.37 and a half. June cattle gained 187 and one half to close at 124.42 and a half. April feeders up to 57 and one half to 146.45. And it looks like in some spots the cash cattle market has broken 120. Did you see that
really?
This morning?
Yeah. I did
120.50.
I did not.
Export demand supported front-month hogs, while back-month futures saw some profit-taking. April lean hogs, 62.5 higher at 102.40. June hogs down 72.5 to 105.60. Chip.
Very good. Very good. All right, let's bring in Scott Davis, Bullpen Trading. How you doing, Scotty? It's good to talk with you again, buddy.
I'm doing well, Chip. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Glad that you could make the time. So, it's, you know, I should say thank you for getting me thinking about everything that has changed in these ag markets over the last year.
I heard I was pushing your
buttons. Flipping my switches. Flipping my switches.
Flipping your switches. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Got me thinking about it, man. How has your life as a risk manager changed over the last year?
Oh man, that's a big one. I would say, you know, I was on your show about 13 months ago. I've done it a couple times since then, but you had me on early on in the pandemic, and I kind of talked about, you know, how you have to focus on what you can control.
Yep.
And I remember that conversation because when you asked me to come on and talk about stuff, I'm like, man, how do you come on here and say anything intelligent when most of this stuff is so up in the air, we don't know what to do with it yet.
Right.
And, you know, at that point in time, it was just trying to get people to not panic, to look for opportunity, but mainly to just, you know, focus on what you could control, not to you know, I guess get lost in the misery.
Right.
And, you know,
and
now
definitely don't add on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That was part of the conversation that we had too, was whatever you do, make sure that you're not adding on to your risk. Make sure that whatever you do, you are limiting your risk. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, now we've kind of got this different attitude, and I don't think I wouldn't say that it's as much in ag yet as it is in a lot of places. You know, I work with people across the whole range of investments. A lot of investors right now, I'm having to remind them that there is risk in a market, especially when it's a market at all-time highs.
Yeah.
And they've kind of forgotten that again already in the fact that we've had so much money printed. And so I'm managing risk in very different ways today than I was a year ago for people, because we're having to, you know, a year ago I was trying to keep them in at a market that was on fire sale prices, and today it's trying to remind them that, hey, things don't always just go up, and we got to manage the risk of this. And these are prices that are really worth rewarding. You know, on the ag side, these are some good prices, and we want to make sure we don't miss that. I have a couple clients that have reminded me of the phrase that I've used on here before, and that is the John Davis rule of business. And my dad was John Davis, passed away at 93, and you know, his first rule of business was stay in business, and the rest you'll work on. And these are the kind of prices that you got to make sure, first rule of business, you stay in business, you take advantage of this. But, you know, totally different scenario than a year ago right now, where I think you gave some of the price differentials at the beginning of the segment here.
Yep.
And I mean, last year it was just trying to figure out how much you were going to lose and keep it from being bigger.
Right. Yeah. A year ago today, or a year ago on the first Monday, which was actually April 6th, December 21 corn futures closed at 368, and November 21 soybean futures closed at 847. So it was managing losses at that time, and a year later we're talking about, listen, we need to take advantage of the opportunities that have been provided here, but at the same time, it feels, Scott, like it, as much as things have changed, when you look at the new crop versus the old crop, there's an attitude out there, and I think it's a prevailing attitude, that at some point the new crop markets are going to be where the old crop markets traded to.
That may be a prevailing attitude. I don't think that's that's certainly not an assumption I would make today.
Right.
And maybe that's why you're not seeing quite as much rampant optimism in agriculture as you are in some other areas at the moment. But, you know, that's a dangerous game. You know how that works with the spreads, is that, you know, the market's trying to do its job to slow down demand of supplies that we know are limited. And if we end up growing a big crop, we don't need to achieve those same price levels, because we will have slowed demand, and we're going to slow demand. I mean, that's no doubt. I don't know that this price does it, but the market's job is going to be to find that price point that crushes demand. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to come off. You always end up making me sound bearish sometimes. I don't want to come off as a bear, because I'm not a bear here yet. I don't think these markets are done. I don't think we have factored everything in. That said, we have to respect that these are good prices to make sure we're protecting and not letting get away from us later if we do grow the big crop. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple things that have really – it's easy to look at the prices and see a change there. You know, last year at this time we were talking about ethanol shutting down, nobody driving again, shutdown spreading across the country.
Yep.
This year I'm hearing rumbles in the oil sector. Mm-hmm. And from anecdotal reports, which are always dangerous to rely on, but anecdotal reports, you know, regarding trailer sales and RV sales and vacation plans and booked up areas, we are going to be looking at big summer driving.
Yep.
And yet we don't have enough corn left over to really go gangbusters on ethanol and make it to the end of the year.
Right.
So we're going to do some rationing in here, and we got to find the price point that does it, because we're going to run out otherwise.
Right, right. Sounds like ADM is going to fire up two more plants, and including that big one down in Cedar Rapids is what the talk is.
Yeah. How are they going to find the corn, Chip?
Well, there's, you know, and with that question asked, don't forget the derecho area is a lot of draw for that Cedar Rapids market.
That's my point.
Yep. That's going to be an issue. I mean, we're looking at basis that's that is going to be pretty red hot. No, it's going to have to be quote unquote imported from east or west, because I don't think a lot of it's going to come from the north, honestly. So I think it's going to have to come in from the east or the west to make it work in Cedar Rapids.
I think you're right, and I guess my point is the math doesn't work very easy. East is going to be really tough because what were export inspections this week?
One, oh,
crazy.
Just call it two. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Call it 2 million, and we're going to kick corn down the river at a blistering pace with everything that's been booked. Now, granted, there could be cancellations. I know the Bears are going to argue all this stuff. I'm going to tell you, there almost needs to be. We've sold too much. And we are going to have a market that's going to be balanced on, you know, a knife's edge here, trying to figure out how to make it through, not kill demand. You can't import from Brazil in here very easily anytime soon into the center of this country.
Right.
So it's going to be crazy. It's going to be tight basis. The market's going to, at some point, look at the deliverable supplies for Chicago and say, hey, wait a second. And, you know, I make that case on a day where, We had the May corn lead the correction, right? Yeah. So clearly, you know, market's done when the, you know, full spreads collapse. Yeah, today was just a tease. I think today was index fund getting ready for the index fund rollout of the May, and wheat took a little bright spot compared to corn and all that kind of fun stuff. So I don't think today is where you get the signal, but I am going to say this year is going to be really tough to figure out. I know we're all going to want to talk about weather, but I'm telling you, this, we haven't really fully traded the idea that we're going to get too tight on corn inventory yet.
I agree. And I don't know if we've traded the realities of the tight inventory in the soy complex yet either.
No, we haven't. And that's scary to say with beans in the teens, but we haven't done it yet.
Right. And one of the reasons that I say that is because of the long oil, short meal spreading. Once we turn that around, then maybe we will really trade it. I don't know. Maybe that's to come. Or maybe that was the first half or three quarters of the rally before the bean oil took over. All right, we're talking with Scott Davis from Bullpen Trading. We'll be back with more Scott here in a moment. It's time for headline news featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. The Suez Canal Authority said Saturday that they have cleared the traffic backlog. China releases rice for food use. Excuse me, for feed use. That's how you usually use rice, is for food, but it's for feed. Wow, crazy. Sovcon trims the Russian wheat export forecast. The ag consultancy shaved just 200,000 metric tons off the forecast. OPEC agrees to boost production by about 2 million barrels per day. Mortgage rates in the U.S. rose for a seventh straight week. 30-year loan, 3.18%. FDA authorizes first at-home rapid COVID-19 test, and the CME raises soybean futures maintenance margins. Give ProFarmer a try at tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. Got Davis with me, and we're talking with
Hello.
Scott Davis. Before we get back to Scott, let's go ahead and recap how the markets closed.
Well, Chip, July hard red winter wheat, 2¼ cents lower today at 569¾. July soft red up 3 cents to close at 613½. May corn futures, 6½ cents lower, 553¼. December corn closed at 488½. That's up 4 cents today. May soybean futures 10¾ higher, 14.12¾. November bean futures closed at 12.69, up 5¼ cents. May cotton 30 points lower, 77.65. On the livestock side, June cattle gained 187.5 to close at 124.42.5. April feeders up 257.5, 146.45. April lean hogs 62.5 cents higher at 102.40. There's your quick market recap. Now back to you and
Scott, Dave, Scott, Scott, Davis, Scott, Davis, Scott, Davis.
Outstanding. Thanks, Davis.
One more.
Scott, Davis.
Just one more. We got to have him on more often so we can use that. That's awesome.
So that you can play.
Davis.
This is the best thing I've done all day.
Davis. Scott, Davis.
I'm exhausted from that.
Oh, put my man. Feet up. See, and I'm exhausted from thinking about how much things have changed over the last year all the other switch flipping that took place. So, all right.
Tie-in. Excellent tie-in.
Scotty, I'm not looking for a specific answer to this, but this is a question that came into me on email. And the reason that I'm not looking for a specific answer to it is because you'd be giving advice, and we don't want to do this. But this is one of the issues that guys are dealing with out there right now, and we can discuss the decision process on this. So he says, if the time is okay, or if you've got it. My question is, my local elevator is offering a 20-cent positive basis. Doesn't say where he's from, but I know that's better than what he's normally dealing with. So elevator is often offering a 20-cent positive basis for July. Would you recommend a basis contract or just dump it now? And that strong basis environment is something that guys are going to be dealing with and going to have to manage as they make their way through this the rest of the old crop markets, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's a great question, and you know, you touched on the difficulty of giving a specific answer to just this problem. Is comes down to some of the licensing issues we face
right.
as a registered broker, and I'm kind of, you know, a stickler about that. But you know, in general, I will tell you this is a conversation I have a lot. Obviously, right. You know, the first thing I'm going to say is that a great opportunity, if it doesn't fit your operation, still isn't a great opportunity. So the first thing is, you know, when can you haul this corn? How can you make it work for you? Timing-wise, do you have the semi-availability? Do you have the help availability? Are your roads in what condition? And all that kind of stuff. So you got to time your movement in part to what your operation is. And that's the one thing that's always been, I think, critical for people to realize is that, can you handle that? You can have the perfect opportunity in the world, but if you can't execute on it, you know, so keep that in mind first.
Right.
Second, I do think, you know, you're completely right in the maintaining ownership, and I think even in the cash market right now is a good way to go, in that we aren't going to have enough inventory. You know, on the corn yeah. side of things, I do believe that we used to talk about 1 billion bushels being the pipeline number, and if it got below that, you know, the market didn't work well. Well, mm-hmm. you know, now maybe it's the last 10% of the crop and we're going to grow 15 billion. So maybe it's 1.5 billion. Regardless, we're clearly at a point where the market's going to be a little bit broken this year on corn. Beans are already broken. Mm-hmm. They're going to be even worse. But you're going to see basis get out of whack, especially if you're in the derecho area, like you alluded to before, mm-hmm. Chip. You know, I do think that if you are in a situation where you can maintain ownership of that grain in a physical way that allows you to keep it in condition and, you know, move it on the terms of your operation, that's not a bad way to go. And then maybe look at some puts or something along those lines if you're getting to where price-wise you're concerned, because you could see basis rip yet. Normally, I wouldn't say that when you're 20 over, but boy, this isn't a normal year, and it's not going to look normal for at least the next 90 days.
Okay. This leads to the question, and all the comments about basis and the tightness of corn inventory as we get into the summer months. Will the future – because you look at the July futures contract, and that thing – yeah, we had the spike last week, but that market has been a 520 to 550 affair – go all the way back, well, for most of 2021, it's been in that 520, 550 range. Do we see the futures market react to that summer tightness, or is it a cash market event?
I think the futures will react. I don't know that they'll react until we get almost into the deliverable window for them. And I think you may just constantly see this handover to the next front month, you know, where you get the May at 552, July at 538. You know, I mean, you've got that spread already starting to show it. And I think as you get May out of the way here, July takes over and resumes and likely makes new highs over whatever the May gets to. You know, in delivery, I don't even want to play that game
right.
with the whole in delivery situation. But I think the lead up to it, July is going to start moving over to that front roll position here soon. Like I said, index funds are going to start rolling this week out of the May, and I think that's part of what pre-anticipation of that today may have walloped the spreads today, but I don't think it's permanent yet.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you, Dan, for starting that conversation for us and the question. Love getting those questions in by email, by Twitter, text, however you want to get them to me. The comment at the end of the last segment about how the corn market probably hasn't dealt with the tightness that's out there. Soybeans, maybe even the soybeans haven't done that yet. What are you looking? I mean, we've got this new crop supply coming, but you've got that old crop tightness out there. What do you expect from these markets as we make – from the futures markets specifically – as we make our way through the growing season?
Well, you know, I think we were trying to be comfortable with the idea of the old crop and pushing demand off for the future right up until last Wednesday's report. And that pulled the rug out from underneath the Bears. They were starting to get a little comfortable, a little cocky with the idea that, hey, we got through this. All we got to do is wait till new crop. And then USDA came with acreage numbers that everybody's sitting there scratching their head.
Right.
And I don't think we're trading those numbers fully yet. I think that was more of a shock than really digesting those. And I don't think those numbers are right. I'll go out there on that limb. I think we'll find a couple million more acres. Probably some corn, some beans. I think the market's job is to make sure it happens. And, you know, we took a step there last week. But that cushion, that idea that we can just wait till new crop, got ripped apart during last week's shift at the end of March. And now we're having to deal with the reality of that uncertainty. Can we get there? And I think the next step, Chip, I'm going to sound like I'm kind of, you know, rabid here on this, but I think the next step is realizing that we aren't fixing anything for next year yet either.
Right.
If you believe those USDA numbers, we're in trouble for inventories for another 18 months.
Yeah.
Now Brazil might fix that on its own. Who knows? They could grow an awful lot, but you know, between now and then, I think the other reason that I'm a little more optimistic even on corn than I was before, even though we've achieved a lot of the objectives I wanted to see on corn last winter when we talked.
Okay.
Since then, now I'm hearing, you know, the rumbles that 10 to 20 million tons of corn production out of the Cerrado could be at risk. So you're talking, let's just say a lower end number on that and say a half a billion bushels. The world's counting on that. And I think China today or over the weekend was a warning shot on that, with telling you that they're going to have the rice out there as feed. Mm-hmm. That can be powerful. We're going to feed a huge amount of wheat, because right now I think the whole world is shifting focus to say, okay, wait a minute, we can't count on the U.S. for enough inventory this growing season. How are we going to get through?
Interesting.
And you're going to feed wheat, you're going to feed sorghum, you're going to feed rice. We're going to try everything we can in our power to get through this without having to go crazy on this, supply squeeze. But it is a supply squeeze. It will turn into the need to hurt demand. Exports, we're done for this year. They have to be. Crush is going to plunge, and you alluded to meal's going to take over as the leader. I think that's going to be the case. It has to. You know, people have booked up our inventory, and we're already starting to worry about the next inventory. That's really critical, and it plays back to what we talked about a couple of months ago, Chip, and that this is a multi-year turn for our markets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If we don't go too high too quick, it can be a lot of fun for a long time.
Yep.
If this market gets out of hand in the next 90 days, and that's the window of time, I think, is the next 90 days. If we go crazy to the upside, then you got to have multiple years priced.
Yeah.
Because if we crush that demand base, it's going to hurt for quite a while.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But back to your point about the acreage and the prospective plannings report, I feel like if those numbers are accurate, it has extended our profit opportunity another year. I'm not talking about holding prices at high levels for another year. I'm talking about the opportunity will be provided at some point by these markets, even out into the 2023 crop, Scott, is how it feels to me.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree completely. The markets, the spreads are going to do heavy lifting, but they will pull those back ends up too.
Yep, that's right. Great conversation, buddy. Thank you so much, man.
You bet. Thanks.
All right. That's Scott Davis, Bullpen Trading. We've got Kerry Artak next.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
So, Davis.
Yes.
Did you ever play Guitar Hero, or as a guitar player, is that like below you?
Oh, no, it's great fun. It's not the same. It's not the same.
Oh, no.
It's great fun.
No, but, well, now wait. As a guitar player, you can say mm-hmm. that. Guitar mm-hmm. Hero players would say, oh, man, I rock so hard.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly how Dude. It would be if I had a guitar. Dude.
Yeah, I'm going to put a band together, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't quite translate the other direction. It's, you know. It's one way, really.
Yeah.
I got to say, though, playing the drums with Guitar Hero is like playing
that
the drums.
That is legit.
Yes. That's legit. That's right.
That.
That's right. Good point, Big Apple. Love that. Mm-hmm. All right. The reason I say it is lonely.
Why
is
do you ask?
I mean, well, because of the bump music.
Uh-huh.
That's Guitar Hero all over it. Loved that.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do you?
All right.
You rock the Squire on Guitar Hero. Is that?
I do. Yeah.
Is this a challenge?
No. Absolutely not. But and I won't even say that I actually rocked it, but I sure felt good doing it. Yeah.
Attaboy. Yeah. That's the main thing.
Let's bring in Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. How you doing, Kerry?
Doing great, Chip. How about you?
Doing just fine, just fine. Glad that you're here, man. Get us started. We going to the corn market first?
Yeah, let's start with May corn. Actually, I'm going to cover corn, soybeans, and feeder cattle. But corn and soybeans are structured similarly in that. And I'll start with corn. You know, we've got long-term buy signals in both. In corn, that played out in December. And in soybeans, that happened last November. So we've got some upside that's well above the market. In fact, I'll just start with corn. You know, 465 and a quarter, well below the market, is our new floor of long-term support. We had a buy signal above that last December, anticipating now 646 even, well above the market by some point this year. I keep saying summer, autumn, perhaps. Could be sooner. But for right now, we're kind of in this midterm congestive two-sided framework. 579 even is a ceiling. It's a 50% upward retracement, really, from the 2012 high against the 2020 low. We've tested it twice now over the last couple of months, early February when March contract was front and center. And just last week, we pushed through it. We did not close below it. We came tumbling back. And so we're back in the 550s. 579 even is our ceiling midterm, and our floor midterm is 496 and three quarter. We just might test 496 and three quarter if we close this week below 537 even. So now I'm talking near term. 537 even floor can contain selling through April, above which 579 even is in constant reach over the next few weeks. We close below 537 even, expect 496 and three quarter within 2 to 3 weeks, where we could actually bottom out through May and through spring. If we close above 579 even, which is ultimately expected given that long-term 646 even target, then 646 even becomes a 2 to 3 month objective rather than summer or fall of this year. We're probably talking late spring, early summer. 646 even, then a met objective following that December buy signal and able to contain annual buying pressures. On to May soybeans, very similar structure. We had a long-term buy signal last November above 1135 support, well below the market, anticipating 1657 as a long-term objective that's likely to be realized by some point this year, whether it's summer or autumn, tough to say. And then inside of that is a midterm framework, 1524 and three quarter ceiling, able to contain buying through spring, 1327 and a quarter floor, able to contain selling through spring. So we could trade inside that zone all for the next few months. And if 1327 is to be tested, we would have to close below 1392 and a quarter this week for that to actually be indicated. 1327 and a quarter, then once again, able to contain selling through spring. Now, I am ultimately anticipating a violation of that 1524 and three quarter midterm ceiling. And if we close above it in the next few weeks, then that 1657 and a quarter long-term target should be realized then within about 2 to 3 months. So rather than summer or autumn, we're talking, you know, late spring, early summer, where 1657 and a quarter can readily contain buying through the year and possibly through next year. And finally, I'm going to mention feeder cattle once again. We tested long-term resistance that was anticipated since last autumn. It's presently at 154.50. We closed 151.77 today. We did essentially test it last week by pushing to within 1% of it last week. So we have met the objective. It has been tested, 154.50, long-term ceiling, able to contain annual buying pressures. And from here, the broader feeder cattle market can quite easily pull back into the 137, 138 handle over the next few months, 137.52 to be exact, but rising weekly where we can bottom out through summer trade. Now, upside, if May feeder cattle closes the week above 154.50 by a 1% margin. In other words, a Friday settlement 156.05 or higher, then we're off to the races. 173.90 then expected over the next few months, and dare I say the 220s over the next year or two. And so that kind of rounds it out, Chip. Yeah,
absolutely. Good stuff, Kerry. Hey, just a reminder to everybody that if you go to ARTAC Advisory, ARTACAdvisory.com, top of the page, AgriTalk link will open up a video of that will help you better understand what we just talked about. Thanks, Kerry.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You too. Kerry ARTAC, ARTAC Advisory. Okay, real quick, National Weather Service, 6 to 10-day outlook. This is for April 11th through the 15th. We've got normal temperatures over the middle of the country, below normal temperatures in the Dakotas, western Nebraska, western Kansas, and above normal temperatures out in the far eastern belt. A lot of Wisconsin included in that, Michigan, northern Indiana, Ohio. We've also got above normal precipitation expected in that warm area, most of that warm area through Wisconsin and including down through central Iowa, western Missouri, and into Kansas and into the Panhandle region. We've got above normal rain for April 11th through the 15th. Below normal precip expected North Dakota, South Dakota, most of, just call it western Nebraska is included in that area where below normal precip is coming in. We've got a long ways to go to get through this growing season, but we're going to be paying close attention. Hey, for Davis and for producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, thanks for listening today. Tomorrow morning, Greg Henderson. Tomorrow afternoon, Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net.